All right, well, we're going to start a new series tonight, and we teach and preach on faith and healing on Wednesdays, and we're just going to keep going on faith. Faith will work in all aspects of your life. It works the same in every area, and, you know, we'll emphasize some things in relation to healing as we go in general, but you know, sometimes we'll just speak specifically on healing. But, you know, we teach on these, I have several messages that are from a study guide by Brother Hagin called the Faith, Bible Faith Study Course. And so these are just some of those if you ever, you know, because I'll use examples out of here and follow along. We don't just follow along exactly necessarily, but we'll be taking these from that. But we're going to talk about what it means to believe with the heart. What it means to believe with the heart. You know, we talked about how faith comes, what faith is, and these things will overlap. You know, you hear me say things that when we're talking about these things that, you know, it will overlap. We won't completely concentrate on one area, but so we've said some of these things will intertwine, but then there's a lot of new things that we're just going to focus on this area. So if you can go ahead and turn over to Romans 10, verse 10, we'll start there, and go ahead to Mark 11, 23, and then we're going to go on and probably turn to a number of scriptures, but we'll see. Romans 10, 10, and Mark 11, 23. So I believe we're going to be turning to a number of scriptures. So we'll just take time as we go to turn over there because I want you to see it. I don't want you just to take my word for it and quote it. It doesn't mean as much when you just hear it quoted as when you lay your eyes on it. Romans 10:10. Everybody there? It says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Let's go back to verse 8. It says, "But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Now hold your finger there and look at Mark 11, 23. We'll read verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So you can see from these two verses, go keep your finger there and flip back to Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, this is telling us how to be born again, but it works the same in every area. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth. It says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe where? In your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. See, when you become born again, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But how do you get there? You believe with your heart. It says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness." Didn't say with your head. It didn't say you did it with your body and you worked for it. People believe this, that you work for to be right with God. And if you get over the line, if you're good enough, then he accepts you. That's not the Bible. That's religion. That's man's idea. That's not that God did not say you can't. That's just a slap in the face to the Almighty. That's like saying, you know, you can get to the moon from here by jumping. You can't do it. I don't care how high your vertical is. You can't get it. You couldn't get out of the atmosphere. It's just a moot point. You can't get there. And it's the same thing people say, well, you're going to be right with God. Well, you can't get there. I don't care how good you are. You can't get there. When you look, you know, we've all seen the pictures. You know, you see the pictures of Earth from the moon that they took, or you see, you know, how far away that is, or you see the moon. You can all look up in the sky and see the moon. But that distance, if you were to look at them side, if you're just, you know, that you're out here in space and you see the Earth and then you see the moon. When you're looking at the Earth from that distance, you know, you see the blue and then you see the clouds and you hardly, maybe you see some land under there, but I don't care. Mount Everest, you could not pick out at a certain distance and it's going to look like a little blip. I don't care if you stood at the top of Mount Everest and jumped. You're still not getting to the moon. The moon is nothing. I mean, the Mount Everest is nothing when you're talking about the distance to the moon, let alone like the sun or something. You know, I mean, that is so minuscule. And that's what our righteousness is. I don't care if you're the best person on earth. That's like being, if you're the best behaving person, you are like on Mount Everest and the worst person's at the bottom of the sea. When you're talking about looking at the earth from a distance, it doesn't look much different because there's still this big distance to the moon. And only Jesus could bridge that gap. So you don't contact God and you don't work your way into righteousness. That's not what the Bible said, which is good news because you don't maintain your relationship with God by your righteousness either, as far as being in the family. Now, as you know, your relationship with Him, as far as if you do something wrong, that'd be like saying you maintain the relationship with your wife or your husband by how good you are. Now, you maintain the fellowship, but not the relationship. You can be in a dead fight, and you're still married. Now, you could eventually break it off, but just because you didn't act right, you're still married. Now, you may not be talking. And see, people confuse the two with God. You know, yeah, if you go and do stuff where your conscience bothers you, you don't want it. Just be like if you did something. God's a person. And if you do something that bothers you, you don't want to go. If you do something and lose your temper at a person, does that make you want to be around him or you knew you did something wrong? Does it? If you lost your temper or you did something, does that make you want to be around that person? You know you need to make it right. You can go around the person and be like, and try to talk. You know, we just need to get this thing right, right? You can be in the, it's cold in the room. Well, God's not touchy, but your conscience is going to bother you. But see, then, you're all of a sudden not saved. You're still saved. You're still in the family of God. And see, people have misunderstood this and think, God doesn't accept me. That's not God. That's your own heart condemning you. Your own heart is condemning you. Your conscience is bothering you. But if we realize, I didn't get into the family based on what I did. I am believing what Jesus did, so I'm in the family. Then I won't have a problem. If I mess up, all I go is, God, that was wrong. That was stupid. I blew it. Forgive me. And you know what? He forgave you. You didn't get out of the family of God during that time. You were in the family of God. But you're if you know what the Word of God says, you can have forgiveness. And your conscience, if you realize what the Word of God says, will be cleansed. And you can come boldly right back as if nothing ever happened. And it's a miracle. For us to be able to come into the presence of God. You realize before Jesus, you couldn't just come in the presence of God. You came in the presence of God, you're going to die if you didn't do the right thing. We have such a privilege that we can come anytime and talk to Him. And so, don't want to get into it, but that's why the enemy doesn't try to get you to sin just so he can say, goody, goody, I got you to sin. It's not a game. He knows that if he can get you into sin, number one, it'll hurt you. The wages of sin is death. Number two, your conscience will bother you, and he wants to drive you away from God. And so he'll tempt you to sin, and then as soon as you do, beat you over the head for doing it to drive you away. He does it all the time. So what you do, if you know the Word, if you know what the Word says, you can say, God, I blew it. I'm sorry. And he already knew you blew it. But you're going, it's just like, you know, if you had something with somebody, they know and you know you're wrong, you're coming back and saying, let's make this right. That was wrong. I'm sorry. And doesn't that change things with a human? Well, it's not on our end. I mean, God is a just God. He knows men. He knows what we're made of. But just going and saying, God, that was wrong, that cleanses your conscience. That restores fellowship. But my point is, how we got into that is, you get into the family of God, you become righteous by faith, believing with your heart. It's not having to do with what you did. You didn't believe with your right arm. And when we say your heart, we're not talking about your blood pump. We're not talking about your physical organ, and we're going to get into what we're talking about with the heart. We're not talking about your finger. You know, as far as, if you can believe with your heart, you can believe with your finger. Your body is your body. It's flesh. It's going to go in the ground. It's going to die. But we're not talking about your head. You don't believe God with your head. You believe God with your heart, which is your spirit man, and which we're going to see. But verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's why it's futile to try to prove that Jesus rose from the dead to people. I'm not saying we can't talk about it, but you're not... Even if you can't convince somebody with their head, because that's not how they believe. And so although people mean well, when they try to lay down all this stuff, I'm not against apologetics. I mean, apologetics is biblical. That means giving a reason for your faith. But if you get into where you're just trying to reason with somebody and trying to convince them intellectually, they can't get born again with their head. You're trying to convince the wrong part. At some point, so you can't prove there's a God. There's already proof everywhere there's a God. People have to take a leap. They have to believe with their heart. They have to say, I believe. My head may not be able to understand it, but God, I believe you're real. And they reach out with their heart. That's how you become born again. So yeah, you can talk to somebody and say, look, there's these prophecies and this came true. But people can always poo-poo it. The Pharisees saw Jesus walk in the flesh and saw the miracles he did and still disbelieved him. You can't prove. If people want to be in unbelief, they're going to be in unbelief. We have to come to where we believe in God with our heart and reach out to him and say, Lord, I can't understand, because you can't comprehend God. You can't comprehend the virgin birth. You can't comprehend the blood of Jesus, you know, being payment for it. You have to receive it by faith. And the Bible says the natural man can't receive these things. They're spiritually discerned. So trying to convince somebody and you know, write down everything and convince them logically that you need to be born again, well, you can support it, but ultimately they're going to have to make the decision with their heart. So it says, verse 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And getting ahead of ourselves, but what we're talking about is believing, what it means to believe with the heart. You believe unto whatever with your heart. In other words, you believe unto righteousness with your heart, getting born again, but you believe unto healing of your physical body with your heart. You believe unto financial prosperity the way God would have us to live with your heart. You believe with your heart. You don't believe with your head. You don't believe with your big toe. It's not your body. It's not your head. It's your heart. And the more we get into this, the more you see this, the more we get free, because people are, a lot of times when they say they're trying to believe, they're trying to wrap their mind around a truth and they're trying to do the wrong thing and it will never work. And once you realize, see, did you wrap your mind around salvation, Jesus dying for you? Did you wrap your mind around that before you stepped out in faith? You did not. You just stepped out with your heart. And that's the greatest miracle of all. And so when we realize, when people say, I'm trying to believe, and we've all probably been there, I'm trying, we're missing it because we're not realizing it's with your heart. We're trying to intellectualize it, or we're going by our feelings. I don't feel like it's working. We already located ourselves. We're not believing with our heart. We're looking to our body. We're looking to our mind. We're looking to our emotions. But we're not looking to the Word and believing with the heart. We went over, and if you did not hear them, I would go back and listen. We've spent a lot of time talking about what faith is, how it comes. Because how faith comes is you hear the Word of God. And so you receive the Word of God with your heart, and you act on it by faith, but here's how you act on it: from your heart. That's what we're getting to now. We talked about what faith is for a long time. Faith is not what people think it is a lot. It's not wishing, it's not hoping, it's not needing. It is taking God at His Word and acting. So now we're talking about, where do you believe from? You believe with your heart. Does it mean to believe with the heart? Because that's where we're supposed to be believing. That's true Bible faith. And that's the faith that's going to get results. Intellectual head faith will not get results. That's called mental assent. You agree with your head, but you don't actually believe from your heart, and that will fail. Because we're not a head. We have a head, we have a mind, but we're a spirit, and we're going to get to that. So it says, verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Right here is how you can receive anything from God. You believe with your heart, you confess it with your mouth. If you can get born again that way, you can get healed that way. Now look over again, just hold your finger in Romans in case we need to go back. But Mark 11:23, look at this. It says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart," does not doubt in his heart, but believes, you could say in his heart, because we just said he doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes in his heart, because we just read in Romans, it's with your heart that you believe. He didn't just suddenly switch over to believing with your head. That wouldn't make any sense. It said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So you speak, but it's because, or you're believing in your heart, and you speak because you believe in your heart. And if you believe in your heart and speak, the Bible says you'll have what you say. It doesn't say you'll just have what you say. Like you can do it like a, you know, just some hocus pocus thing that you just speak out of your mouth and ooh, it'll just appear. No, you have to believe in your heart. Well, what are you going to believe? You're going to believe what God said. So that means you can't just pull something out of the air and start saying it's going to happen. That's not what the Bible teaches. And that's what some people start talking and say, like what we're teaching here, they'll say, that's what we're saying. No, we're not saying. What we're saying is, God said something, you believe it, and you act on it from your heart and speak it the way God has told us to do, and it will happen, just like the verses we just read. That's how you got born again. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not over here. It's not doing something you didn't say. He told you to do it. This is how we receive it, is believing with our heart. So we're going to talk about what that means, and to get into what that means, we need to know what the Bible is talking about when it talks about the heart. So we need to understand that the heart of man is the spirit of man. Man is a spirit. We have a soul. He has a soul, and he lives in a body. I'll say that again. Man is a spirit. He has a soul, and he lives in a body. Now, when we talk about heart, we're not talking about our blood pump. That's an organ, but that's not what the Bible's talking about most of the time when it's talking about your heart. The word heart does not refer to the human physical organ of the body. You can't believe with your heart any more than you could believe with your finger or your hand. The word heart is used to convey a thought. So notice how we use heart, the word heart today. We talk about the heart of a tree. What do we mean? We mean the center, the very core. We mean the most important part of that subject, the very center of it, the main part. Or we talk about, like you could say, the heart of the matter. What are you talking about? You're talking about the core. Let's cut through the nonsense on the outside and let's get down to the heart of the matter, right? What are we talking about? The core. When God speaks of the human heart, He is speaking about the main part of man, the very center of man's being, which is his spirit. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Now go ahead and turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. All right, I'm just going to have you guys turn to a few scriptures because it'll allow us to go into some of this. Since you're already turning, let me see, how many did I got? Can you handle four? All right. So 1 Thessalonians 5, Genesis 1, John 4, so 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, Genesis 1, verse 26, John 4, and let's do Romans 1. I'll say it again. 1 Thessalonians 5, Genesis 1, John 4, and Romans 1. Now I got to catch up with you. First Thessalonians 5, Genesis 1, 26, John 4, verse 24, and Romans 1. Yeah, it's probably, I think that's enough. All right, you guys ready? Can you manage turning around like that? All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be prepared blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now notice, he said spirit, soul, and body. Notice that he started with the heart of man, which is the spirit. When God speaks of the heart, he means the human spirit. You will find that many times the word heart and spirit in the Bible are interchangeable. We know that man is a spirit because he is in the same class as God. Man is made in the image and likeness of God. Now, you know, hold your finger in the other place. You can drop 1 Thessalonians, but go look at Genesis 1, verse 26. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Beginning of that verse says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So we're made Man is made in the image of God. Now, we know, so man is made in the image and likeness of God. And look at, hold your finger, now you can let that go. John 4. John 4, verse 24. John 4, 24 said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now don't get hung up on the fact that it says spirit. So in the new, in the King James, it says a spirit. In the Amplified, I'll read you several. Young's literal translation said, God is, Young's literal is like, if you read it, it's very clunky, but it's, that's like the guy that, that's Young who made Young's Concordance. So it's very, well, literal, that's what it's called. But sometimes it reads not so smooth, but it said, God is, and is bracketed. God a spirit. God is a spirit, and those worshiping him, those worshiping him in spirit and truth, it doth behove to worship. But he's saying, God is a spirit. In the American Standard Version, it said, God is a spirit. In the God's Word translation, it says, God is a spirit. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm just telling you what different things say, because then people will see, in this day and age, with the New Age, they'll get woo-woo about it and said, ooh, spirit. No, God is a spirit being. In the Amplified Bible, the classic edition, the one that's been around for a long time, says, God is a spirit, a spiritual being. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I just wanted to share with you some of that. But here it says, the New King James, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So, man is made in the image and likeness of God. We read that in Genesis 1:26. Jesus said, God is a spirit, John 4:24. It is not your physical man that is like God, for the Bible says that God is not a man, that he should lie. But it says God is not a man. And that's in Numbers 23:19. The Bible said God is not a man. So God, you're not made. Your physical body is not what's made in the image of God. Not saying that doesn't look at all like him, but the real you, the core of your being, that's what's made in the image of God. And so we're made in his image. The real you is a spirit. God is a spirit. So your you, the real you, the spirit, is made in the likeness of God. So remember, there is an inward man and there is an outward man. You still have John, right? We just were there. So you still have Romans. All right, so hold John. So we're going to be around John a little bit. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, just turn over one chapter to John 3, verse 3. Actually, you can go to verse 1. John 3, verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus was operating in the natural realm. He was just thinking naturally. He could only think in terms of the naturally, so he asked Jesus in verse 4, he said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So you see, he's thinking naturally. He's looking, going, okay, got to be born again. How do I do that? How does that happen? Do I got to go and actually physically be born? Because he's thinking that's difficult. It's difficult the first time around when you weigh 8 pounds, let alone, you know, whatever we weigh. So notice how Jesus answered him. Verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, the new birth is a rebirth of the human spirit. It's not a rebirth of your body. Whatever you look like before you got born again is what you look like after you get born again. Didn't change anything. Same color hair, same color skin, same age. You just look the same. Your body is not reborn when you're born again. You're not talking about naturally. And of course, your mind is not changed when you get born again. We have to do something. We'll get to that in a bit. But hold on to John and look over at Romans, where I had you go to Romans 1, verse 9. Romans 1, verse 9 said, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you in my prayers." God is my witness, whom I serve, what? With my spirit. You realize all the serving you're doing it actually with your spirit. Now you have to do something with, we're going to get to this, with your body. You need to do something with your mind, but you're serving God with your heart, with your spirit. What we do on this earth, what you do, you are acting with your spirit. The words "in spirit" here in the phrase "worship him" or in we're going to go down to John 4:24. Let's go to John 4:24. Back to where we were. It says, "God is spirit," or a spirit. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The words "in spirit" and the phrase "worship him in spirit and truth" refers to the human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. So one thing you got to keep in mind when you see the word "spirit," again, I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm going off of what are people that have studied. And if you look at the Bible, you can see this. When you see the word "spirit," there's one word for spirit. And you have to judge by the context whether it's the Holy Spirit or the human spirit. And you can't go just by what your Bible says, whether it's capitalized or not. Because sometimes you got to realize that the translators are going to translate it. They're going to capitalize it or not based on, there's nothing in the Greek that tells you that. It's got to be context. And how you understand the verse, and if you don't understand what we're talking about here, there are places in your Bible that it's capitalized that it should be lowercase. It's actually talking about your human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. And those are two different things. I'm not being facetious. You have a spirit, you have the Holy Spirit in your spirit, but your spirit is not the Holy Spirit. When you got born again, you are a spirit. Now the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. In what? Your body? No. In your spirit, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's in your spirit. The body, your spirit is in your body. God lives in you, not because he's in your body, but because he's in your spirit, which is in your body. He's in your spirit, but your spirit is not the Holy Ghost. Okay? The voice of your spirit can be picking up what the Holy Spirit is saying, but your spirit is not the Spirit of God. In other words, if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God indwelling your spirit, but your spirit is individual too. That's the core of you. Okay? So we believe God with our heart, with our spirit. See, you cannot contact God with your mind. You can't contact God with your body. You contact God with your spirit, with your heart. You can only contact God with your spirit, therefore you must worship him in spirit, from your spirit or from your heart. You see, a lot of other stuff, people, that doesn't mean you can't do something with your body to worship. We do it every Sunday and Wednesday. We just did it. We're singing. Well, that's your body. But if you're just singing and there's no, you're not worshiping from your heart, it's not worship. People do this all the time in churches all over the world. It is pure religion. They may be mouthing words, but their heart is nowhere near God. That's religion. That's just empty words. That's nothing. It amazes me. I've been in churches, denominations over my life, where you can hear they're saying the word of God, but there's no life there. There's no faith. There's no spirit. They're not believing. They're not worshiping from their heart. It is rote, human, natural knowledge. Their mind is moving their mouth and they're saying something, but they're not worshiping God from their heart. Number one, a lot of them aren't born again. How do you get born again? You believe with your heart in what? In their good works? No, in Jesus. So we need to contact, you must contact God through, with your spirit. That's how you contact God. Now we're going to keep going in this. We just got going. But the spirit of man is the heart of man. The heart of man is the spirit of man, and we're talking about what it means to believe with the heart, so we need to understand what the heart is, what man is, and then we can get in there, and then it'll be more clear what we're talking about when we're talking about believing, but we'll pick up there next time.